Mark chapter number 2. Yeah, at the conclusion of the message, I'm going to give you two words and one song. How about that? And then we'll send you to the house. But to Mark chapter number 2 and verse number 1, if you'll turn in your Bibles, Mark chapter number 2, the Gospel of Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible this morning. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the preaching of the Bible this morning, Lord, and I pray that this would be a help and a comfort to your people, Lord. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. This man found himself in a position that none of us want to be in. And folks, let me just say this. There's going to be times when you cannot help yourself. Now, that's hard for us as Americans to hear. It's hard for us as men to face sometimes. You cannot, think about this. There's going to be times when you cannot get to where you need to go. You cannot in your own power, your own strength, get to the one who can give you back the power and the strength that you need. There's going to be times when you need to be lifted up and carried along. Let me just bring out the Bible phrase here. There's going to be times in your life when you need to be born of four. This morning we read a story of a man who finds himself in this exact situation. We do not know the specifics of his ailment. And by the way, I think sometimes what the Lord leaves out of the Bible is just as important as what he puts in the Bible. Sometimes he does not give us specifics because he wants us to be able to put ourselves in that man's situation. We know that what the Bible tells us, and this is what it says. He was, here's the wording, one sick of the palsy. Now the term palsy simply means he was paralyzed or enfeebled. Now, preacher, give me the specifics. Did this happen because of some accident? I don't know. Could it be that he was stricken down with a disease or a sickness that's put him in this situation, stolen his health, stolen his vitality? I don't know. We do know this. Something has happened to him that's made it impossible for him to get to Jesus by himself. He needed some help. He needed four friends that had the strength, that had the compassion, that had the concern, and by the way, was willing to take the time to help get him to what he needed. And over the past 5-6 months, I'm just going to testify shortly here. I found myself from time to time in that situation. By the way, this is not a situation anyone wants to be in. You wouldn't choose it. I'd rather be one of the four than the one who is laying on the bed of affliction. Can I hear an amen right there? I mean, I think that's all of our hearts. That's what all of us would like to be. I mean, I would rather lend my strength than to need the strength of someone else. My prayer of preference is this: Lord, let me spend my life carrying the bed of someone else's affliction than to find myself lying in that bed. And I think that's just because I was raised in a family of Bob and Donna Ross. But folks, I mean, come on. I'd rather serve than be served. I'd rather assist than need assistance. I'd rather comfort than need comfort. I'd rather spend my life helping others than ever get to the point where I feel like I'm being a burden that someone else has to carry. But this morning, I also want to quickly say this. I'm glad that God, in his wisdom, allows each of us from time to time to experience the blessing of being born by four. I'm able to stand before you and preach this morning. Listen to me, not because of my strength or my health or my willpower to be here today. Over the last many months, I've been born of four. By the way, I just thought this morning I'd bring these four to the platform, and I want you to meet them. I want you to meet these four wonderful helpers, because sooner or later, folks, it's going to come to all of us. Sooner or later, we're going to be the one lying, needing somebody's help. And I want to tell you this, that we have a wonderful God that has four helpers ready, willing, and waiting to assist. I want you to meet the ones who have carried me, a little bit of a personal testimony, carried me and who continue to carry me during this time of my affliction. All right, let's start with one of them, maybe the most important. Number one, let me introduce you to the grace of God. The grace of God. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, what does he say? My grace is sufficient for thee. Hey, my grace can come down there and take a corner of that bed. My grace can pick you up when you can't pick yourself up. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I love Paul's reaction. Oh, listen, it's easy to read, and it's easy to rejoice in Paul's faith until you've been there. But I want to be where Paul is, where he says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, folks, listen to me. When you're faced with these type of situations, our Heavenly Father, and I want to remind every one of you, because, folks, there's a lot of folks, this bed of affliction just isn't necessarily connected to a person's health. It can be connected to the circumstance of your life. But please, as the Holy Spirit helps you give application, be right beside me up here, rejoicing that when our Heavenly Father sends us into a valley, he never sends us alone. He walks with you through the valley. God has never forsaken his own. I'm going to have somebody slip back there and kick the air on this side over here. Okay, Brother Chad, would you do that? And for those of you that are cold, we have a high-tech heating and cooling system, and it monitors each and every person's particular area. And it will sense your specific need and send you just either the heat or the air or whatever your need is. And so don't worry about what I just said. You're going to be just fine. And everything I just said was an absolute lie. I'm just trying to keep some of you with me here. Our loving Heavenly Father never sends you into a valley alone. He walks with you through the valley. God has never forsaken his own. Now, one of the things that you learn about grace, boy, listen to me, let me recapture your attention right here. One of the things you'll learn about grace when you're going through great trials is this. The grace of God is supplied in accordance to your need. I want to say that again. The grace of God is supplied in accordance to your need. That's why many of us, when we watch somebody go through something, we say to ourselves in our heart, I could never do that. I mean, how in the world can you bury a spouse? I can't do that. I went over to comfort Sister Debbie, and the whole time I'm thinking to myself, I want to put myself in her situation. But there's a part of me that don't want to put myself in her situation. I don't even want to think about what it would be like to have to bury my wife and to be without my wife. And I think to myself as I left the house, how's she doing this? I couldn't do that, Lord. Now, folks, listen to me. You say, well, I don't have the strength to do it. I couldn't handle it like she's handled it. I mean, you know why you don't have the strength to do it? You know why you don't have the grace to do it? Because you don't need it yet. But let me tell you, when you need it, am I right? God supplies it. I think it was Miss Amelia that went and blessed her by just coming alongside her during part of that and just said something along the lines of, the grace of God, I just see the grace of God wrapping its arms around you. And she said that I needed to hear that. And she said it sounded like something Sister Tina would have said to me. And I thought, amen. Preacher, how in the world do you survive the passing of a parent? I just couldn't do that. Well, the reason you can't do it is you don't need to do it yet. What are you saying, preacher? Let me say it again. Folks, watch this. The grace of God is supplied in accordance to your need. Whether it's burying a spouse or the passing of a parent, I guess every parent's nightmare, the loss of a child. All across the auditorium, there's men and women that have gone through the heartache of watching a marriage dissolve and the devil destroy it. And some of us look and say, how do they do it? And how do they go on? And how do they put a smile on their face? And how do they sing praises to God? And I couldn't do that, preacher. Well, you don't need it yet. I don't have that grace. Well, you don't need that grace yet. I wouldn't have that strength. Well, you don't need that strength yet. But remember this, folks, the grace of God is supplied in accordance to your need. The song I passed out to you, the title got clipped off of it. It's not the one on the right-hand side of the page. It's on the one, but it's a song entitled, He Giveth More Grace. Maybe at the end of the service, we'll sing it together. Now think about the words. He giveth more grace. Come on. When the burdens grow greater, he sendeth more strength. When? When the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. And then the second verse, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. And then you talk about a course, folks. Woo! We'll get to it here at the end of the message. We'll sing it out. His love, I want to remind the church this morning of this. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. Come on, think about this. His power has no boundary known unto men. Why is that true? Because of the third line there. For out of his infinite riches in who? In Jesus. What's he do? He giveth and giveth. And giveth again. I don't know what God will ask you to go through, but I promise you this, whatever it is, God will give you the grace and strength to handle it. So that's one of the four helpers and the most important of the one, because it is the grace of God that also sends us the other three. Let me just quickly go to the second one. I want you to be introduced to these four that have borne me along. The grace of God, how about this? The love of family. The love of family. I want to just stop a minute here and really emphasize what the Bible emphasizes when it comes to the importance of family. You know, one of the greatest honors of my life, and I mean this, and I think every parent feels this way, every grandparent feels this way. One of the greatest honors of my life has been the honor of caring for my family, of being there to help them when they needed help. Now, moms, dad, grandmas, and grandpas, listen to me, and I want you young people to listen to me. It's not mom and dad's, you know what the preacher's going to, not mom and dad's responsibility, come on, to carry you along through life. It's not mom and dad's responsibility to supply your needs. It's not mom and dad's responsibility. We got too many of a younger generation growing up, and they won't grow up. 30-somethings that still think that this entitlement mentality that mom and dad owes them everything. No, that's not true. That's not true. But let me say this. Let me quickly say this. You know what? As I've watched our children marry and as I watch them start families and I've watched them come into situations where they have needs that is just more than they can handle. You know what? I want to say this. It's a blessing. It's an honor from time to time for dad and mom to just step in and give them just a little bit. Come on, not a hand out, but a hand up a little bit. You know what? I think of the other day. I mean, why work hard? Why spend your whole life working hard? Why is it important to be wise with your money and resources? I mean, why save up for the future? And I think about this. People work 40, 45, 50 years, and they stockpile and stockpile and stockpile, and they retire, and 3 years later, you see their name pop up in an obit. And, you know, folks, listen to me. Why just pile it up to pile it up? Think about this. Do you know why I'm glad that we have some resources at this time in our life? Not because we want to travel the country, not because we want to buy a $150,000 RV, and not so we can jet set. You know what we want to do? We just want to be a blessing. We just want to be a blessing to our children. We want to be a blessing to our grandchildren. Again, come on. Not give them a hand out, but give them a hand up from time to time. You know, Tab and AJ was paying a ridiculous amount of rent just a few years ago in Sacramento, California. And folks, you think rent is here, those of you that are aware of prices in the big cities across the country, and especially in communist California. And you know, they're paying this ridiculous amount of money for rent every month. And I finally sat down with them and said, listen, you're throwing money down a rat hole. What do we got to do? Where are you at? What do we got to do? You need to buy a house. You know, at least you're building equity then. And so they begin to process, and we begin to help coach them through that. You know, folks, listen to me. Older folks, listen to me. It's not just a matter of helping your children, your grandchildren out with finances or resources from time to time. Listen to me. Don't let a lifetime of, come on, accumulated knowledge and wisdom go to waste. And by the way, kids, don't waste that God has given your parents that they're trying to give you. So I sat down and they said, well, it seems like it's impossible. I said, well, everything's impossible until you break it down into steps. And so let's figure it out. And so I helped them be able to walk through the process and figure some things out. It took a while to get some of their finances where they needed to get and all of that. And finally, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not exaggerating. A house would come up for sale in Sacramento, California, be posted at 8 o'clock in the morning, and whatever price they put was just the opening bid. And I mean, before they could hardly respond, within a day, they'd have 14, 18, 20, 25 offers on the house, not a one of them less than the asking price. I mean, it was a bidding war on houses at this point when they were trying to buy. I won't go you through the entire story, but I was just talking on Tabitha and AJ the other day, and it literally was, folks, a miracle of God that they were able to get the house that they were able to get. And anyway, we got a seller that agreed to sell them a house at a certain price. And sellers were happy with it. Tabitha and AJ, house checked out. And you know what? Then all of a sudden you start dealing with the lender. And you start trying to jump through all the hoops. And then they want this paperwork. Then they want this paperwork. Then they want this paperwork. Well, you know what? That offer only stands for a certain number of days, you know. And if you don't get the paperwork in and done by the certain number of days, and this lending outfit kept running them in circles, got within 48 hours of them losing the opportunity, not only the opportunity to buy it, but losing their down payment. And I've been coaching them because honestly, you want your kids to learn to do it themselves. I'd rather coach somebody and make them do it than I would do it for them. But you get 48 hours away from my baby girl not getting this house because of the incompetence of a financial institute, then you're going to meet a different part of the type of a person of Jerry Ross than most of you have met before in your life. So I finally said, give me the number of the lender and the name of the person you've been dealing with. And listen, I'm helping you young people because listen to me, mom and dad, listen, we got all these gray hairs. We earned every one of them, okay? All right? And so Daddy Bear got on the phone and I said, is this Mrs. So-and-so? Yes. I said, and you work for this? Yes. And you've been dealing with Aaron and Tabitha Nichols? Yes. I said, all right, I need you to right now transfer this call to the manager of your office. Ma'am, right now, transfer this call to the manager in your office. And so the call went to the manager. I said, are you the one running this outfit? And she said, yes, sir, I am. I said, let me tell you who I am. And let me ask you a favor, personal favor. Would you walk over to so-and-so's desk, Mrs. So-and-so's desk, and would you pick up a file that should have Aaron and Tabitha Nichols' name on it? She said, I'm heading there now, Mr. Ross. And I said, would you open that file and just take a quick look? I said, I may be mistaken, but this has been in the hands of your institution for 58 days. We got 2 days left, and these kids are going to lose an opportunity to buy this house. And it is not because of anything they have not done. They have provided you everything, and this keeps getting pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. Can me and you resolve this today? And she said, I believe I can, but let me look at it. And so she went and got the file, and she opened it up. And she said, Mr. Ross, I'm looking at this. And I said, okay, if we can't resolve this over the phone, ma'am, I said, I'll just hang up. I said, I'll drive to Indianapolis. I'll get a plane ticket at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll be sitting in your office. But we've got 48 hours. Do I need to do that? And she said, I don't think so. Let me look at this. And she said, Mr. Ross, let me say this. You're 100% right. This should have been done weeks ago. And I said, can we get it done? And she said, well, I'm reviewing it right now. Give me 15 minutes. I'll call you back. You promise you'll call me back? Yes, I'll call you back. Okay. 15 minutes later. By the way, it's good to finally talk to someone, come on now, that has some competence, that actually is working for you. They're getting their cut, folks, okay? They're making their paycheck. Listen, this COVID thing's about destroyed customer service in the United States of America. And so anyway, she called me back 15 minutes. And she said, Mr. Ross, I need one piece of paper that I'm not finding in your file. What is it exactly? All right, yes, ma'am, I'll hang up. You'll get a call from my daughter within 5 minutes. Tabitha, we need this piece of paper. Dad, I've already turned it in. Well, it's not in the file. Do you have a copy of it? Yes, I do. You need to get in the car and you need to drive it to them. Do not fax it. Do not email it. You drive to them. Somebody there to watch the babies. Yes, we can get someone over here. Get it over there. As soon as that paper, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the joy. Come on now. The joy of helping family. Folks, listen to me. If you're not there for your family, who's going to be there for your family? Amen. If you're not standing up and stepping up for your family, who's going to stand up and step? Well, I just think everybody ought to care about my kids as much as I do. You're living in a dream world. You don't care about everybody else's kids as much as you care about yourself. Family's important. I'm going to show you a King James Holy Bible on this. Finally, you know what? Within just a few minutes, the lady called me back about a half hour later. I got the piece of paper. Mr. Ross, tomorrow morning, I think there's not a thing. I've taken this over myself. I think if your kids can be here in the morning at 9 o'clock, we'll be able to sign off on this. We'll get it done. Thank you, ma'am, so much. Listen, folks, listen to me. You know what? Can I say this? Every single time I walk in those kids' house out there and I realize the miracle that God performed to allow them to own a house in Sacramento, California, I'm glad that the Lord allowed me and my wife to have a little part of that. Just a little part of that. When it came down to crunch time, you know what? There was an extra amount of money that they needed. I was glad we were able to say, I'll wire it to your account right now. Now listen to me. If you want to grow up and just blow every dime you make, if you want to grow up and never learn financial disciplines, if you want to grow up, then you know what? You're going to come at the end of your life and you're not going to be able to help your kids and grandkids. And I want to say this. During these times of affliction and crisis, you need to be there for your family. Amen. Hey, kids, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. Your parents were there for you. Come on, think about this. Your parents were there for you. You need to be there for them in their latter age. Okay, even while you were a young adult and getting your family started, how many times, if we were honest, did mom and dad step up in some way just to kind of help boost us, get us on down the road a little bit? Now think about that. You know what? Tabby, she still calls. I'm glad my girls still need daddy. I'm glad my girls from time to time still need daddy. Amen. Monty Nicholas told me this years ago. He said this, I heard this once, I think you'll find it true. If you have a son, you'll have him till he gets a wife. If you have a daughter, you'll have her for life. Well, I don't know. I can't speak to having a son because we don't have any, but you know what? I think when you have a girl, you got her for life. And you know what? Can I say this? That's okay. That's okay. Kids, it's great to have a mom and dad that's cared for you, but never forget this. The first line of defense, the first line to help, the first one who God has assigned the duty and care of the afflicted, the first one who will be held to account at the judgment seat of Christ for caring for those in need. Who is it? Who is it? The family. Say, preacher, do you have King James Holy Bible? 1 Timothy chapter 5, honor widows that are widows indeed. And then it goes on to give instruction to the church. But first, before it does that, it says this. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home. Listen to this phrase. And to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Then it goes on to say this, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, I don't know how you wiggle out of that, but that's King James Holy Bible. You know, we had the tornado scare the other night, and of course, you know, we're having our phones go off and we were getting ready to get into bed and the phones are going off and alarms, and all of a sudden we're looking at this, and then we, you know, get on the radar and take a look at where this thing's tracking, and it's getting ready to hit Sullivan, and then it's going right from Sullivan right in the middle of the path is Jasonville. And you know, well, I've got a mother-in-law that lives on our property, and you know, she's living in a trailer. And now Sister Bev, she's a blessing, but you know what? That trailer's pretty much her life. That single wide's where she lives. And getting her from that trailer anywhere is a task. And yet we've got about 5, 10 minutes before this thing's supposed to come in. And so I told Cheryl, we better go get her. And I call her and she's like, oh, I'll get over there and I'll get my robe on, try to get my shoes on. And so I pulled the vehicle. You say, preacher, you don't live that far away. If you're 84 years old and in bad health, that might as well be Mount Everest. Now listen to me, then to walk from her trailer to our house might as well be just climb Mount Everest. So we pull right to the end of the ramp, and I open the door. I go in there. She's got her robe on. She's got her sandals. She can't get over. You say, preacher, what'd you do? I got down on my knees. Come on, listen. I'm not patting Jerry Ross on the back this morning. I'm not telling you anything that the normal average American wouldn't have done, and many of them have done and should do, but it's been lost on a generation. Oh, you're Pastor Jerry Ross. So what? At that moment, I'm Bev Whittington's son-in-law. This is my wife's mama. And so what do? You get out on your knees and you pick those sandals up and you get her feet into them and you help get them on. Then you get the other one on. She's apologized for being such, oh, you're not a problem at all. I said, but I will tell you this. When we get to the door, we're going to have to run. And she just starts laughing. And she said, well, you can run. But that running stuff's done in my life. I said, we'll get you there. We'll get you there. And so what'd you do? You know what? You get her arm in yours, and then you get her down that ramp one step at a time. And every 15 steps, you stop and let her catch her breath. And you say, preacher, why do you go to that trouble? Because she cared for that lady right there when she couldn't care for herself. Because she spent many a night sitting by her bedside when she was a child and sickly. Are you listening to me, church? Listen, what's happened to natural affection? What's happened to even Christian Americans when it comes to this idea of just acting like if they are bothered at all to have to stop what they're doing in their important stinking little lives and take some time for family, that they are just, you know, my goodness sakes, they're in line for the martyr's crown. Now, we need to lose that selfish way of thinking, because there's a lot of people laying on beds. And the grace of God is there, but it's not just the grace of God that they need. They need the grace of God extended to them through the love of their family. And so requite their parents. What does that mean, preacher? Well, one grandmother sent this to her grown children. Just text it to every one of them. Don't give me a hard time when I ask you to help me figure out my cell phone. Remember, I taught every one of you how to use a spoon. Amen. Well, a cell phone's not that hard. Well, a spoon's not either. And yet somebody took the patience to teach you how to use a spoon. So you know what? Take the time to teach them how to use their cell phone. I love that. I love that so much. Folks, listen to me. Let's be there for each other. Let's be there for each other. You know, afflictions. You know what? Listen to me, folks. Afflictions in a marriage, either one spouse or the other spouse going through a time that I'm describing this morning, is good for that marriage. Let me say it, it's good for that marriage. It's good from time to time, sir, for you to have to just put everything else on the back burner and just spend some time caring for your wife. A few years ago, we had our second Operation Occupation trip planned. We'd gone the first time, taken 61 people out there. About three or four years later, we decided to do another Operation Occupation out to Washington, D.C., a big trip. And it came within weeks of us going, and I have planned this thing and organized this thing, and I'm in charge of this entire trip. And all of a sudden, we get a report from the doctor, and Cheryl's going to have surgery, and she's going to have it right away, and she's going to be bedfast, and she's going to need care. And here we are about a week out from it at this point. And you know what I did? I told Jonathan Reiser, and I think maybe Brother Chad was working for us at that time. I don't remember. But I told the staff, I said, guys, you know what? I'm out of this trip. I'm not taking this trip. Y'all are going to have to take this trip. You're going to have to run this thing. You know why? Listen to me, because my wife needs me. My wife needs me. I think of all the hours and all of the years that she's taken such good care of me, taken such good care of our children. And for about a month now, all of a sudden, guess what? She's going to need some, maybe 6 to 8 weeks, she's going to need some tender care. I mean this, folks. One of the joys of my life that I got to experience was to be able to just take extra time off and just sit there and care for my wife. Listen to me, God's going to ask you to go through times like that. Let me tell you what it does. It brings a marriage together. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to do that. You see, we took vows. Come on, if you're married, you took vows too. We took some vows. And you know what? We promised that we'd be there for each other. And come on, in sickness and in good times, bad times, when you're up, when you're down, it don't matter. Doesn't matter. Hard times are not designed to drive you apart. They're designed by God to cement you together. Now think, I'm going to condemn some things that need to be condemned. Sad and immature is the man or woman who is only interested in being in a relationship because of what they get out of it. You do not understand the love of God. He loved us when we were unlovely. He forgave us when we were vile. He blessed us despite our sins and shortcomings. And he promises to never leave us nor forsake us. And if God can love us like that, then you know what, gentlemen, we should love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Think about that. Affliction is what binds a marriage together. Affliction ties the heart of the children to their mother and their father. I want to say some things that my dad used to say. Let me just quote my dad, one of the wisest men I've ever known. Dad said this often to you young couples of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Listen to me. The best hospital is the home. The best nurse is the mother. The best healing takes place on daddy's lap or mama's lap. Come on, the best therapy is the squeaking of a rocking chair or the humming of a grandmother. Now, I'm all for it. If you need to take your kids to the hospital, take them to the hospital. I think we run to the hospital way too much. Some of our kids, you know what, they've already grown up with a resistance to antibiotics because every time they sneeze, we think we need a pill. And I'm just going to say that. You've got to use good judgment. You've got to use good sense. And I'm not certainly thankful for our hospitals and all of that. But I'm telling you, we doctor way more than we ought to doctor. And I just want to say this. You know what? When your children go through those times, you know who they need? They need mama. And they need dad. They don't think they do, but they need dad. But come on, dad. We usually take a back seat, you know. I mean, we try to help out. And you know what they're doing? They're crying for mama. You know why? Because there's just that special thing. Hey, I don't know if I announced this yet or not, but tomorrow I'm getting some special medicine. You say, well, don't you have that appointment with St. Francis? I'm not talking about that. Tabitha and Jalen and Audrey are landing in Indianapolis tomorrow. You say, what is that? Medicine for Daddy. That's what that is. There ain't nothing St. Francis has that I need any more than that. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. I know a little bit better about what it is to be born of the four. And I know what's made a difference. And I know what's got me through it. And I want to start where I need to start, and that's with the grace of God. But families, I want every single one of you to rededicate yourself to each other. Because you know what? Hard times are coming. And tough times are going to come and visit every family. And you know what we need during that time? We don't need family being ripped apart because they're being faced with some tough things. We need to let those things bind us together. Let me go to number three, the prayers of God's people. Amen. The prayers of God's people, Romans 15, 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. I love Revelation. I read these verses this week and I thought, wow, Revelation 5, 8, you know, in the book of Revelation, fantastic, because we get the veil parted and we get to look into the heavens. We get to see some things through the eyes of John that no man had ever seen before. Now listen to the wording of Revelation 5, 8. And when he had taken the book, and by the way, that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go through the whole story. But when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Listen, having every one of them harps. Well, that's the importance of music. And golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And I'm thinking about this. Did you understand it? The prayers of the saints are represented at the throne of grace. The prayers of the saints are carried before the presence of a holy God in golden vials. The prayers of the saints are like a sweet-smelling odor before the Lord. How important is it that we pray one for another? I want to go so far as to say this. I think the most wonderful thing one Christian can do for another Christian is to pray for them. I don't know, but better pray in private. There's something about those wonderful promises concerning closet prayer. Come on now. It says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut the door, pray to God, which is in secret. And the Lord and the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Pray together in church. Pray, there's power in united prayer. We've taught that. Children, let me say this. Thank you for praying for your preacher. But don't just pray for your preacher. You have an entire church family, and we've got several of them going through crisis. Thank you for praying for your preacher. Don't stop praying for your preacher. But hey, we've got others that have some pretty important things coming up on the agenda. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. I've been humbled, I'll be honest with you, not just by the prayers of the people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but the prayers of God's men and God's people all across the country. I can't even begin to describe it to you. I can literally stand up and open my phone and spend hours reading a text from people that I've never met and from preachers that I count as dear friends, and pictures being sent from Bible colleges where an entire classroom is on their knees and they say, we just decided we'd get on our knees this morning and start the day praying for your preacher and praying that God would heal. You know what a humbling thing that is? One of the greatest things, listen to me folks, about investing in people and ministries across the countries is the return that I'm now receiving on that investment. Are you talking about money? No. I'm talking about this. Listen, if you spend your life praying for others, those prayers will be returned to you. You spend your life caring about others, that care will return to you. Spend your life encouraging others. Come on, some of you facing affliction and problem and you're sucking your thumb and mad at your church. But let me just ask you a quick question. Where were you when others needed you? Let's not cry about not receiving something we weren't willing to give. Spend your life praying for others. Those prayers will return to you. Spend your life caring for others. That care will return to you. Spend your life encouraging others. That encouragement will return to you. Spend your life being thankful for others, and that thankfulness will return to you. Maybe I should say it this way. Spend your life grabbing a corner of a bed and carrying someone to Jesus. And when you're lying on that bed one of these days, you know what? It won't just be four or five that show up. It might be six, seven, eight, or nine, or ten, all wrestling for the opportunity and what they would think is a privilege to carry you for a while. Let me give you the last one. We've got the grace of God. Come on, we got the love of family. Isn't family wonderful? We have the prayers of God's people. Isn't the church family wonderful? But how about this? What else carries you along, preacher? The hope for tomorrow. The hope for tomorrow. I love Romans 5. By the way, this is an important point, even though it's the last one. I want to say this. It's very important that no matter what you're going through, that you don't lose hope. You don't lose hope. Well, I think God's done with me. Well, you'd know it if he was, because you'd stop breathing. As long as you're breathing, God's not done with you. How about this? Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. There's the grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, come on, worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know what? The word hope in the Bible is a lot stronger word than it has kind of changed since the 1600s when they interpreted and translated the King James Bible. When we say hope, a lot of times we talk about, well, I hope this will happen, as if, you know what, maybe it will, maybe it won't, good chance it won't, slight chance it will, you know, that's what we think of. But when you study the word hope in the New Testament, it's talking about an excited expectation. Come on, an expectant anticipation. Come on, what it's talking about is this. You know what, I can't wait to see what God has ahead. I can't wait to see what God has ahead. Now listen to me, folks. That's going to help you get through those dark times. If you're still here, it's because God isn't finished with you yet. Now, come on, let me help our senior saints for just a minute. Boy, sometimes it's hard because you know what? You wear down and your body can't do what you wish you could do, and you don't have the energy you used to have. And sometimes you are limited in many areas you were not limited in before. And the devil will sit on your shoulder and begin to try to talk you into the fact that there is no hope. There is no reason for you to be here. He wants to take you to a place of despair. Don't let the devil steal your hope for tomorrow. Don't let him do it. If you're still here, it's because God isn't finished with you. By the way, trust the Lord. Trust in his plan. Trust that tomorrow will be better. Grandma, come on, great grandma, you're still here for a reason. Think about it. You're still here for a reason. Those grandbabies need you, so keep investing in them. Great grandpa, grandpa, you're here for a reason. Some young man needs your wisdom, your influence in his life. Find someone to invest in. Somebody still needs your love. Somebody needs the gospel. Somebody needs your example of faithfulness. Somebody needs you to keep on keeping on. Somebody is watching you. Somebody's watching you. Come on. And they are encouraged by you. They're saying in their hearts on some Sundays, well, if brother so-and-so can make it, then maybe I can keep on making it. Sister so-and-so, she keeps going, then you know what? What's my excuse to quit? The picture's on the back wall. If you go back here to the back part of the corner here and you look up on the wall that's facing there to the north, you'll see some faces of some people there. You know, I want to come get our Christian school kids and I want to bring them over here. I'll do that for a chapel one of these days. And I just want to have them sit back there in that corner right there. And I want to just tell them stories about the people that's up on that wall. Can I tell you this, folks? Every single person on that wall, God used them in some way in my life to teach me something. Come on, to show me something. To encourage me in ways that they never knew that they encouraged me. And I want you to not lose hope for tomorrow. If you're still here, it's because God has a plan. He's not done with you yet. So what did their lives teach me? Maybe more than anything else, this, never lose hope. Maybe there's a book or two, preacher that still needs to be written, or a soul or two that needs to be led to Christ. Maybe there's a group of young people out there in a camp or conference somewhere that needs to hear an old preacher tell them how good it's been to serve the Lord for all of his life. Maybe there's still some kids around here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that need the influence of their older preacher. Maybe there's some young couples who need a preacher. Still need me to come alongside you every once in a while and remind you you're doing a good job with them kids. And you know what? Don't give up. No matter what you're going through or how dark the night. Okay, this is the end of the message. I'm going to leave you with two words and one song. How about that? What's the two words? Well, I'm going to have you turn your Bible because I want you to mark them, all right? Let's go to Psalms chapter 30. We're wrapping it up. We're almost done. We're going to look at a verse. We're going to show you two words. Then we're going to sing a song together. Then we'll have the invitation. Psalms chapter 30. If you look at the first five verses, Psalms chapter 30, verse 1 through 5. Psalms 30, verse 1, I will extol thee. How about these verses? Come on. I will extol thee, O Lord. For thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. I talked to Brother Steve about this, Steve Davis, before the service. I said, Brother, God raised you up off the bed of affliction. You came back from the dead this week. He said he got to the point where he was so bad, he said, Lord, you either heal me or just take me on, but I can't live like this. And you know what? Within a few minutes, God performed a miracle right there in the hospital room. Hey, God's still there. God's still there. Think about this. Where was I? Oh, Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit singing to the Lord. Come on, oh, you saints, don't let the devil steal your song. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Listen to this. Here it is. For his anger endureth for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but the next two words, here it is. What are they? Joy cometh. It's not here yet, but it's on its way. Joy cometh. Joy cometh. Joy cometh in the morning. It's talking about enduring for a night. It's not talking about just an 8 or 12 hour time of darkness in a 24 hour period. It's talking about a period of time in your life where, you know what, you're going through that nighttime period. And in the middle of that, you keep looking at the eastern horizon and you keep thinking that sooner or later the sun's going to at least brighten the edges. But it don't seem to come and it don't seem to come. And that's when the devil comes along and tries to take you to despair. But when he does, you just yell out, joy cometh. Joy cometh. Joy cometh. It's not here yet, but it's on its way. Joy cometh in the morning. Well, Miss Rachel, let's sing this song. I'm going to need some help, okay? Nathan and Lauren, let me bring you up here. Do you know this song? Y'all know this song? Chad, is your wife here? Is she out somewhere? Yeah, go grab her. I'm going to need some help. I thought about bringing Chad and his wife up here, and the reason that, come on up, and the reason I'm bringing them up here is to keep me on key, and also because when I can't sing in a few minutes here, they're going to have to keep singing. You got your music? All right, good. And then I thought, I'm not going to be able to sing because I'm going to start crying. And then I thought, why in the world am I bringing Chad Gordon up here to help me? He's going to be no help. What he's got to do is not cry and sing and let me do the crying for a change. Woo! I'm just glad that we practiced these things, man. I'm glad I give my staff a big heads up on everything I'm going to do around here. So, amen. I'm proud of you, girl. You came straight. I thought you'd dive in, check your makeup, and come on up, but I don't think that's who she is. Now, again, it says he cares for you. That's not the song. It's over here. It's going to start on your left. He giveth more grace when the burdens. Hey, we're not going to get in a hurry on this song. Let's sing it. Let's think about it. Because listen to me. This is a song about Jerry Ross and what he's going through. This is a song about what is going on in your life. I want you to think about what God is carrying you through. Or by the way, what he has already carried you through. Or, by the way, you better stockpile. You better stockpile some of these words. Because ain't any of us done living yet. And if we're not done living, then you know what? There's going to be times we're going to need it again. So give me some kind of introduction there.
Giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater.
Can we bring it up? Let's bring it up a notch. Can I help you to go up a little? It helps me. It's all about me.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. Sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials his multiplied peace.
Think about it.
His love has no limit. His grace hath no measure. His power hath no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth.
We needed one verse just to warm up, so I'm going to re-sing verse number one. We'll sing the chorus. We'll go into verse number two. I won't stop you again unless I get tapped on the shoulder by the Lord. Let's sing that first verse. Here we go.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors in
to added affliction.
To added affliction, he added his mercy to multiply trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power. His infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and give up
love. Think of the words on verse number 2. Here it all go. Lift. How many of this first time you've ever sung this song? Woo! Are you kidding me? Wow. Okay, I thought you were a little lame on me. So, all right, you're learning it. Let's try verse number 2. Here we go.
When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, we reach the end of our only begun. His love has no limit.
Think about it. Come on.
His grace Woo. Has no
That's
measure.
It.
His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite
one more time, and then brother, y'all hold on to your paper, put them in your Bibles after this. Let's sing this through tonight. We'll sing it again tonight. I want you to take this. I want to get it into your heart. Google it. YouTube, you can find it. There's a version of it that plays a real jazzy organ. I'm not going to allow that in the church, but I sure like it in my car. Amen. So
amen.
Here we go. You give it more grace. I need it right now.
Give more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he added his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiply.
Think about it.
His love has
That's his love for you. That's his love for you. That's his grace for you. His grace for you. That's his power for you.
Pour out of his infinite riches in Jesus. He
That second verse, we're going to pick it up a little bit. Here we go.
When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only me.
This is it. One more time.
His love has
That's it.
No limit.
Good, good.
His grace has no measure.
Believe it. Believe it. Our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, an old preacher once told me you preach to hurting people, you'll never lack an audience. It just seems like this thing called life, Lord, it's a veil of tears. And Lord, thank God there's a lot of good times and there's a lot of mountaintops and there is a lot of joy. And Lord, thank you. If we were to ever stack all of the blessings of life and then tried to measure them against the handful of things that you've asked us to go through, Lord, we'd be ashamed that we complained. But trials are real, burdens are heavy, And those midnight dark times, Lord, there's not too many people in the room that don't know what I'm talking about. And Lord, maybe somebody just needed to come here this morning and hear these two words. Joy cometh. Don't give up. Joy cometh. God hasn't run out of grace. God hasn't run out of power. God hasn't run out of love. Lord, I just pray. You know who needs what. Thank you, Lord, as in your great wisdom, you met out your grace according to our need. Day by day, you met out the strength. Lord, not a week's worth or a month's worth at a time, but just a day's worth. And I just pray, Lord, that there might be someone here this morning that's never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, they're trying to do this thing through called life on their own. Lord, thank you, dear God, that when we get saved, we become one of your dear children. Lord, you don't have to. You don't have to try to convince this world that you love us, because you've already proved it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, there may be one, two, a handful of people that just need Jesus. Before they can get help with anything else, they just need to accept the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord, if that's the case in someone's heart, I pray they'd be saved. But Lord, no doubt, the majority of the people I'm talking to this morning, they're your children. They've been saved. But Lord, that don't mean that they don't need grace. Just pray that you'd help us. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm wondering if there's somebody here. Preacher, you were praying for me a minute ago. You didn't know it, but you were. I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. And you're right. I've spent way too much of my life trying to do this without God. I just need Jesus. I just need my sins forgiven. I just need to be born again. I need to make sure of eternity before I can worry about this present life. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I want to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't come get you. No one's going to embarrass you, I promise you. But I want to be able to know who you are, and I want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. Preacher, would you say a prayer for me? Raise your hand so I could see it just real quickly. That's me, preacher. Would you pray for me, preacher? I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. All over the auditorium, Christians, let me say something to you. God hasn't forgotten you. Don't you let the devil take you to despair. Don't you listen to that old liar that tells you that God doesn't love you and he's done with you and you've sinned past forgiveness, you've sinned past grace. Well, I hope you heard the words to that song. That's not true. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are with the Lord, but I can tell you this, he loves you. And if you're saved, you are his dear child. You're his dear child. Whatever you need today, he's got it for you. I may say, preacher, I just needed to hear this message this morning. I just needed to hear it for my own sake. Would you raise your hand across the auditorium? I just needed this in a special way. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless. Help this time of invitation, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.